From the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first 11 verses, verses 1 through 11. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We'd like those who listen to the sermons from Daleville Christian Church to know what we believe here at Daleville Christian Church, and this from 2 Thessalonians in the second chapter, verses 13 and 14. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wanted to share a couple of quotes. This one from Tom Crean, who is Indiana University basketball coach, and no matter what you think about Tom Crean or the Indiana University basketball program, I think you'll appreciate what Tom Crean had to say. He said, "It's getting harder and harder to stay true to what you believe, and it's only going to get harder." And this quote from Carl Erskine, baseball great. He recently said, "Christ is the master coach, and if everyone gave more to him, they would get more out of life." That's what we have been saying here in this sermon series. Life with Jesus is way better than life without Jesus. Life with Jesus is way better than life without Jesus. We continue our topic of basics, the basics of the Christian faith. We've looked at some of the preaching of the early church in the book of Acts. We have seen this teaching and its meaning for their day, dealing with magicians and pagan temple worshipers, Jewish officials, and Roman officials. Today we turn to what the Apostle Paul actually said, because that is exactly what Paul says in this letter he wrote for the churches in the area of the Greek city of Corinth. We're looking at the 15th chapter of what we call 1 Corinthians. If you have read that letter or read it recently, you remember the first 14 chapters where Paul had to deal with a lot of problems in the church in Corinth. Imagine that, a church with problems. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Well, there are 14 chapters of problems there. Then Paul writes this, chapter 15, verse 1, "I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand." Paul is saying, look, maybe you misunderstood something. Maybe you misheard something of what I said, but here it is. I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. Wow. You mean that even if you're an apostle, your own church people might misunderstand you? Well, I'm certainly glad nothing like that happens anymore. But notice what Paul is saying. Look, this is what I taught you. Not only is this what I taught you, this is what you received. This isn't just what I thought I said. No, this is what I said, and this is what you heard, and this is what you received. You accepted this as the gospel. And Paul punctuates this in verse 11, saying, not only is this what we did preach, this is what we continue to preach. It hasn't changed. Paul is saying, I'm not throwing something in here I forgot to mention. No, this is what I preached, this is what I preach, and this is what you believed. So, Corinthians, hey, no excuses. Here it is again. I will now remind you of something you heard and received and believed. Here it is. Then Paul states, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Paul is saying, I didn't make this up. This isn't my take on things. This is what I was told. Now, you might wonder where Paul got this information. There are only two possibilities. Other men, the apostles, or from Jesus himself. Paul says he got it all from the resurrected Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:23, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. And Galatians 1:12, I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. So, there it is, direct from Jesus himself, the resurrected Jesus. So, nothing was lost in translation. Nothing was lost in translation. This is pure grade, unadulterated gospel. Again, let me say this as an aside. The gospel isn't something we made up. This isn't something that anyone made up. This comes from the one who is resurrected. St. Augustine said it, and I'll keep repeating it. No one has God as their father who doesn't already have the church as their mother. None of us can be believers in Christ without the church. It's not possible. Take the Bible. It's the church's book. You and I didn't write it. You and I didn't record it or copy it. No one here printed this Bible. No one here was involved in the publication of the Bible. But who was? Who was in on the copying? Who was in on the translation? Who was in on the printing and the publication? Church people. And you can't make up the gospel. Paul didn't make it up. He got it from the resurrected Jesus himself. You can't have God as your heavenly father if the church is not somehow your spiritual mother. For those who say, I don't have to go to church, go to it. You're already a product of the church. Everything you believe that is true about Jesus came from the church because Jesus didn't come to you. Jesus came to the people of Jesus' church. We're going to talk more about this in a little bit. But friends, the gospel was never dreamed up. We're going to talk more about this. But the gospel was never dreamed up by someone. No one could dream this up. It comes from God. This is not just a good idea. It isn't an idea. It's the truth. I remember one missionary told me when they finished telling someone the gospel, that person said, that's the most beautiful thing I ever heard. Yes, it is. It isn't earthly. It's not of this earth. It's heavenly. It's from God. So Paul says, here is the pure grade unadulterated gospel. And so what is this pure grade unadulterated gospel? Well, here it is. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also. So there it is. Are you getting all the meaning? Because the church in Corinth wound up missing something. They were missing something. So Paul says, okay, back to basics. And Paul first covers 14 chapters of stuff they were missing. But one of the things the church in Corinth was missing was a sense of unity, a sense of oneness, a sense of being connected. How do we know that? Because Paul says so. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I'm not going to dwell on that right now. I just mention it. We'll come back to it. But Paul clearly believes that the divisions have something to do with not recalling the true, pure gospel. That in itself is something to think about. You should say to yourself, so divisions in the church may have something to do with not getting or not remembering the pure, unadulterated gospel. Let's hear the pure, unadulterated gospel again. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, Peter, and then to the 12. Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. Christ died for your sins, and Christ died for my sins, and Christ died for your neighbor's sins. The sins of the person sitting next to you, or the sins of the person who refuses to sit next to you. Christ died for your sins. Yes, you have sins. Notice I did not use the past tense. It isn't that you had sins, you have sins. And Christ died for them. Christ died for our sins, your sins and my sins. And Paul said, by this gospel you are saved. It would be more correct in English to say, by this gospel you are being saved, because that's the way it is. It sounds like a past event, and it's not a past event. It's going on right now. You are being saved. You weren't saved yesterday. You were only saved yesterday from yesterday's sins and all the sins before. What about your sins today? I guess you're sunk. No, I'm being saved. I am being saved. I'm counting on it. If I was saved, is that something that already happened in the past? Then I'm disappointed because there are lots of parts of me that still need to be redeemed. But fortunately, I'm being saved. There's a chance that the parts of me that still need to be redeemed will get redeemed. They'll be transformed. My salvation isn't over yet. My salvation is still ongoing. Praise the Lord. Don't think that I like all the parts of myself. I don't. What the Lord and I often disagree about is which parts need to be redeemed right away. So here is one basis of unity. We're being saved. Here's one basis for walls between people, but especially believers. Walls should be broken down because we have all been forgiven our sins through the one Jesus Christ's death. He died for them. Yes, the Jesus we love willingly went to die for the next person's sins. Your sins, the person next to you's sins, the person across the way that you're not so crazy about, and the people who aren't even here. And parenthetically, friends, I'd have a hard time believing that every one of you is just crazy about every other person here. I mean, you could be. That's called transformation. That's called new life. That's having a renewed mind. Some call it sanctification. It comes with belief in Jesus Christ dying for your sins. And again, we'll get to that. But transformed mind to be crazy about everyone here. and be crazy about people who aren't here. You're crazy about them because Jesus is crazy about them and died for their sins too, not just yours. We all have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and there are no exceptions. Jesus died. Jesus was so dead that he was buried. So the next part is just as astonishing. Jesus was resurrected. Jesus was dead, but he was raised from the dead. And we know that this is so because people saw Jesus alive again. People saw Jesus dead. People saw Jesus buried. People saw Jesus alive after Jesus had been dead and buried. And Jesus was raised from the dead according to Scripture. This whole gospel being declared to you is based on God's redeeming work that God began with the people of Israel and promised God's people. God is making good on God's promises according to the Scripture. Now, this isn't just about Jesus forgiving our sins, but Paul wants to make sure that you haven't forgotten that part. No one's better than anyone else because why? Sin and the forgiveness of sin. You might think that there are worse sins. God doesn't think so. Besides, Jesus had to die for all sins, big or little, so it doesn't make any difference there either, does it? No one is better than anyone else because of sin and because of the forgiveness of sin. So whether you think your sins are big or small doesn't matter either because they are all forgiven through the work of Jesus Christ. We are all the same at the foot of the cross. There isn't any better seating at the cross of Jesus Christ. There aren't expensive or cheap seats at the cross of Jesus Christ. I don't think there are any seats at the foot of the cross. Those who can kneel will kneel. Those who can will kneel at the cross of Jesus. Some of us may throw ourselves down on the ground, but that's also a form of kneeling. But this isn't just about forgiveness. This isn't just about your forgiveness. This has to do with your life. This statement has to do with your living. Jesus died and was resurrected. That means you and I can be new creatures. I still like that word, creatures. New versions of the Bible use other words. New creation, new person, new nature, new life. But I like creature. Human beings are creatures. We are created. But in Christ, I am not just a human being anymore. I am a new creature. I'm a new way to be human. I have a new life. I have forgiveness. I am forgiven. You are forgiven. And now we can forgive others. Paul is certain to mention who Jesus appeared to. And he mentions it first. Peter, Cephas is his Aramaic name. Simon is his Jewish name. And you should be saying, Simon, where did we last see Simon before the resurrection? Remember? Peter was denying that he ever knew Jesus. It was at Jesus' trial, and Peter said, I don't know Jesus. I was never with him. Maybe we should recall Simon Peter's denials. Here they are. When someone said this man was also with Jesus, Peter said, I do not know him. When someone said to Peter, you are one of them, you are from Galilee, certainly you are one of them, Simon Peter said, I do not know the man, I am not one of them. Simon Peter finally said, I do not know this man of whom you speak. Now in one of the Gospels, Jesus was upstairs and Peter downstairs in the courtyard when this happened. If said loud enough, Jesus could have heard it. But it doesn't matter. Jesus had told Peter beforehand that his denials were going to happen. Paul mentions Jesus' resurrection appearance, and Paul mentions Jesus' appearance to Peter first. First, the one disciple who is on record of lying and misrepresenting himself and denying Jesus. Paul mentions the resurrected appearance of Jesus to Peter first. Isn't there a lesson in this for us? Well, there sure is. Have you ever been hurt? Have you ever been lied to? Did you not like the way someone treated you? Did you feel disrespected? Did you feel abandoned? Well, so was Jesus. How did Jesus respond? The resurrected Jesus appeared to Simon Peter. Let the one who hurt you so bad, let that one know that it's all forgiven. Let the one know whom you told ahead of time that it wasn't going to be able to stay true to you, get to that one right away. The one man, Peter, who so bravely said, I would rather die with you, Lord, he hung back when the arresting officers came, and he lied about the relationship when push came to shove. Is there a lesson for us here? Yes, there is. This new life you are being given starts with some tough tasks, forgiving those who have wronged you. How is it possible? How can anyone do that? Well, you can't do it, really. Jesus was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, Peter. But the one who went to Peter right away after his resurrection will help you to go to those who have hurt you. What does the apostle say? It's by the grace of God. The one who persecuted the church, the resurrected Christ, came to him. It was by the grace of God, in and through Jesus Christ. And that's how we are able to forgive others. Well, after the appearances of the apostles, Paul says, after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Why is this important? Well, this isn't some spiritual resurrection. People saw Jesus again. This isn't the idea of a resurrection. It really happened in human history. People saw his body dead, they saw his body buried, and they saw his body alive again. There wasn't anything in the tomb. And if this resurrection happened, and it did happen, hundreds of people saw Jesus alive again. Since this resurrection happened, then what Jesus said about your eternal life is true. We too will be resurrected from death. In this life, we get a new life, we are new creatures, and when we die, we will live again, just like Jesus. Why? Because we are Jesus' followers. We believe by this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.